Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are pleased now to be joining us from SI Golf. You can find her on Twitter at Gabby Herzig, H-E-R-Z-I-G, the proud alum of Sage Hen Golf at Pomona Pitzer, where she was a four-year player and a senior captain. Gabby Herzig, good morning. Thanks so much for hopping on with us.
Good morning, Jason. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, just a little bit about you. I saw from your Twitter feed you had your radio debut with the PGA channel over, or was that yesterday? How did it go? Did you survive?
Yes, I survived, thankfully. This is definitely all the radio opportunities are somehow coming at the exact same time, but I'm happy to keep doing it. It was a blast. Anytime I can talk about golf, I will jump on the opportunity. So.
Well, fantastic. Well, we are pleased you're joining us. Your current piece up, kind of a recap of round two, talking about Lilia Vu and Nelly Korda, overcoming, you know, when you go to majors, we saw it with the Masters. John Rahm goes out, double bogeys the first hole, and gets all fired up, and then goes on to win in dramatic fashion. And major championships being more about overcoming obstacles, limiting the damage when you do get yourself into trouble, as opposed to being perfect. What so far have you thought of this Chevron Championship, the leaderboard? Some good names up there. Nice to see Nelly up there. Brooke Henderson's been playing great, and Lilia Vu. What's been your assessment so far through two rounds?
Yeah, definitely. It was interesting to hear them both kind of echo that exact quote about, you know, accepting the bogeys, accepting the mistakes at especially such a difficult venue as the club at Carlton Woods, Jack Nicklaus design. Obviously, it's a new track for all these women, so they're all getting used to it. And like Nelly and Lilia said, it's kind of competing in a major is all about bouncing back from those setbacks. And like you said just now about John Rahm, he started with a four putt on the first hole of the Masters and went on to win. And but he had that championship winning mentality that, you know, never give up. Golf isn't a game of perfect. That's one of my favorite quotes by the great golf psychologist, Bob Rotella. So that was definitely a trend that I pointed out in some of these players' post-round interviews, just navigating the challenges of a new venue. But yeah, the Chevron Championship has been amazing to watch so far. I think all these women are really enjoying the kind of fresh scenes in Houston. And at the top of the leaderboard, we have A-Lim Kim, who has actually won a major championship in Houston before at the U.S. Open. So that's going to be a great storyline heading into the weekend.
Well, let's start with the course first. Obviously, this particular major meant so much to the LPGA over the years. It was a special event. It was all theirs. Really celebrated the women's game. But it was hard for them when Nabisco left to keep sponsors. It was early in the season, And so it was, you know, they needed to play it down there earlier than later before the weather became unbearable. But we know about the traditions of Poppy's Pond and the winning player and caddy jumping in after winning the championship. How has the new venue been received, the change in the calendar by the women on the tour? And how has the course and the tournament gone about trying to keep some of the traditions that made this major so special?
Yeah, definitely. I think anytime a new sponsor comes in and is willing to help inflate the purse to, I think it was a 60% increase this year to $5 million purse. I mean, I don't blame the tour for just completely jumping on that. It's really amazing to see the LPGA have a lot more prize money coming in and sponsors this year, some historic purses for these women that very much deserve it with the deep level of talent that's out there right now. But yeah, the traditions obviously at the ANA of, you know, jumping in Poppy's Pond as the winner, that it looks like they're going to try to continue that legacy. There's been a dock installed on the pond off of the 18th green, which is also a par five at the club at Carlton Woods. But it looks like it's going to be optional for the winner, whether they want to jump in or not. It's kind of been circulating a bit on social media, but they've installed some netting at the bottom of the pond to make sure that gators don't get into that area. Apparently they have tested the waters to make sure there are no bacteria floating around in there. So it's a little bit risky, I would say. It's not the, you know, chlorinated pool that Mission Hills had installed off the 18th green that kind of made all the players feel very comfortable. But we've heard a couple girls talk about it this week, and a few are like, oh, I would definitely jump in, no questions asked, and others were a little bit hesitant, I would say.
Well, we saw Christina Kim have to, I don't know if it was the same pond, but we saw her get in there. She put one inside the penalty area on the side of the hill and managed to get out of there okay.
I know, I saw that. I was laughing because everyone's been talking about the snakes and the alligators and the ponds this week, and apparently after the round she mentioned that she scanned the area pretty well before she decided to hit the shot, which I think is definitely necessary out in Houston.
Chatting here with Gabby Herzig from Sports Illustrated Golf on Twitter, at Gabby Herzig, H-E-R-Z-I-G. So you look, how is the course, though, held up? Mission Hills was iconic, but a lot of players with a lot of experience there knew that like the back of their hand. You mentioned new courts, new kind of even playing field for everybody. How have they taken to the course so far from, you know, what you kind of heard through the grapevine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've heard a bunch of players talk about how it's really impossible to compare these two venues just because of how different they are. We've got new grass in Houston, totally different layout. We've heard a lot of players talk about the demand off the tee, working the ball both ways, and really forcing players to kind of use their imagination and put themselves in the best position in the fairway in order to have even a shot at getting a birdie look. We've also heard a couple of people talk about how narrow the greens are and how tricky the slopes are, and you really have to position yourself in the right place with some of these tricky pin locations and tough bunkers surrounding the greens. But yeah, I think definitely they got a lot of rain, and on Friday morning, the tee times were delayed a couple of hours, but it looks like the course is holding up great. A lot of ladies were taking to social media to praise the greenskeeping crew for getting everything together so quickly on Friday morning to get them back out there. So it seems like it's being really well received so far, even though it's definitely a challenging venue. I think a lot of these women really welcome that challenge.
Well, and you would hope you would have that for a major championship. You look at the leaderboard, you mentioned A-Lim Kim, a major winner, but Lilia Vu at 7-under, one back. I think she's been the talk so far of the LPGA Tour, won for the first time at Thailand earlier this year. This was a player that was ranked as the number one amateur while she was at UCLA a few years back. Thought she would have immediate success going to the tour. It didn't happen right away. COVID got in the way, as it did for a lot of players. But she just seems a very, very delightful personality, but had to... She seemed like one where golf was everything while she was going up through the amateur ranks through college, and discovered that she needed to keep a little bit better perspective. And upon gaining it, now was just ready to thrive.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed reading her transcript from her post-round interview yesterday. She obviously had an incredibly decorated amateur career. UCLA, she was a star player there. You mentioned she was the number one amateur in the world for 31 weeks until she turned pro. And the only reason why that reign ended was because she decided to turn pro. She was also a member of the U.S. Curtis Cup team in 2018, where they won in dominant fashion at Quaker Ridge Country Club. And I was actually there on site and remember kind of watching her and saying, you know, this girl's going to really be something someday. But it took her a while. Pro life really, I think, hits you right on sometimes. Playing in college is so different than being out there on your own, traveling week to week. You don't have a team surrounding you. You don't have school as kind of that distraction to keep you from thinking about golf all the time. But yeah, she's definitely gotten things together mentally, it seems like. She talked about how during COVID she was reading a lot of self-help books and, you know, really putting in the work to get her in a better place with her mental game and not treating every mistake as a life or death scenario. And I think that's really, really served her well, clearly, because she's I think, come in the top 15 in all of her starts this season, plus her first ever LPGA victory, which has obviously got her locked up for a couple years now. So she's in a comfortable spot. Her game is clearly tiled in right now. So I think she's definitely someone to watch this weekend.
So the start of the LPGA calendar is a little disjointed. Obviously, the PGA Tour has it. I mean, they're locked in pretty much every week. For them, it's like, okay, where do I take a week off? They're dealing with these designated elevated events now, trying to figure out, at least for the top players, okay, if I got to play in these so I can get into another pot of money at the end of the season, where do I take a break? For the LPGA, have they have enough consistent competitive play the way that it's set up going into the first major from your as a former collegiate player?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about it, but now that I do think about it, it's definitely a little bit more sparse than what the PGA Tour guys have set up for them. And I know one player who really hasn't played that much this year has been Lexi Thompson. This major, the first major of the year, was only her third start of the calendar year. She played in Saudi Arabia, and then she played at the Drive-On Championship in Arizona, where she missed the cut. And now she's just missed another cut. So we heard her talk about some wrist issues at the beginning of the week, but clearly it's taken some of these players a bit of time to kind of warm up, I would say, and get into that mid-season form. Another one that comes to mind is Jennifer Kupcho, the defending champion this week. She's definitely had a bit of a rocky start to her season and then missed the cut again here. So maybe that is something for the LPGA to look to next year and maybe adding in a couple more events in the early season. But at the same time, these women have such a packed schedule going for them for the rest of the summer, especially these next couple of months. U.S. Women's Open coming up. The PGA Championship is at Baltusrol in New York, an amazing major venue, and then U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. So they have a lot to look forward to, and maybe the sparse play in the early season is for good reason.
No question. And you throw in a couple of those tournaments are over in Southeast Asia, so that always, you know, it's not like the, you know, PGA where they're in California and Arizona for a month and a half. So a couple of names that we see that are very familiar on top of the leaderboard. Brooke Henderson's at 6 under, as is Nelly Korda. Brooke's got a victory this season. She seems poised maybe to go on a run where she has one of those special Lorena Ochoa seasons, a Lydia Ko season with a major, maybe 2 and 6 wins. Is Nelly completely healed from that blood clot issue at about this time last year that she was really concerned about? It seems like she's got it all back together.
Yeah, it seems like it to me. I don't think she's talked about any pain recently, and obviously, looking at her swing, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I could watch her swing golf club, you know, a million times over. It's genuinely mesmerizing. So she looks to be in great form. I think she just has talked about a couple blips here and there, a couple three putts that she needs to kind of avoid. But like I talked about in my piece last night, she's been really, really great at bouncing back from those setbacks and kind of having that short-term memory loss mindset where just put it out of mind, out of sight, and go move on to the next hole and hopefully look for birdies out there.
So who do you like going into the weekend How far back do you think somebody might be able to come on this course? Obviously, that a lot of players are still getting used to. You've got 15 players within four shots of the lead starting the third round.
Yeah, I think someone I'm really excited about, I don't know if she could be a contender to win, but she's definitely in the mix, is amateur Amari Avery. She's a sophomore at USC, and she's actually playing – she's playing the course blind right now. She just came off of Pac-12s where USC won the team title. So she's on this crazy run of momentum right now, but didn't get to see the course for any practice rounds. And she's at 2 under right now, tied for 26 as an amateur, playing the course blind. She has her dad on the bag. And if you haven't heard anything about Amari, she's this All-American star. Her name kind of got out there in the 2013 documentary called The Short Game that followed a bunch of junior golfers and their families and kind of looked into the life of these elite junior players. And that's where she took off, and she's really held her own since. She played on the winning Curtis Cup team last year, where she won, I think she was maybe 4-1. She had an amazing record as a rookie on the Curtis Cup team. So I'm really excited to watch how she puts together these last two rounds over the weekend. It looks like she's, I think, even through her first two holes today. So it's really exciting to see some of this young talent rising through the ranks. I mean, we saw Sam Bennett at the Masters,
yep,
just put on an unbelievable performance coming in his fifth year at Texas A&M. So it just kind of shows how deep the talent pool in golf is right now, and it's just really exciting to see.
Well, we're looking forward to it. You'll be covering this event for SI Golf. So it's si.com/golf. You can go get the full articles. You can get links to them at Gabby Herzig, H-E-R-Z-I-G. So collegiate player, a proud Sage Hen. Great nickname, by the way. Much better than my alma mater. So, where did you like to play most? What course down there in the California area did you really thoroughly enjoy for people that need to get out of the wet and the muck up here, go down south and play somewhere?
Yeah, we played a bunch of courses in the kind of Inland Empire area. One that comes to mind, which we didn't necessarily play for college, but I kind of would go there with my teammates when we had off weeks or in the fall, was this amazing course called Oak Quarry. It's probably 45 minutes away from Claremont, where my college was, Pomona College. And it's built into this like old rock quarry. So you have these holes that are surrounded by giant rock formations, and you literally feel like you're on a different planet playing the golf course. And it's kind of a hidden gem in the inland Southern California area. So I highly recommend that course to anyone who's over there.
And then obviously the PGA's got the team event. What would your walk-up music be?
Oh, that is such a good question. I haven't thought about this one. I guess I'm into dance music. I'm really liking John Summit right now. Fisher, who's a DJ that performed at actually the Live Australia event the other day. Maybe something like that to hype the crowd up.
There you go. Well, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can reach out and have you back on the show here as all the tours get into their meat of their schedule with majors coming up. Gabby Herzig, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the Chevron Championship, and we'll look for your coverage at si.com/golf.
Thank you so much, Jason. Happy to go on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.